Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 277. Last time we were in Leviticus, chapter 14, verse 53, speaking about the fact that people have the responsibility to, in order to be holy, to obey the voice of God, the commandments of God, and to be clean in everything. That's how you become holy, and without holiness, none of us can see God. And so we're mentioning having that understanding, because they study this constantly, you know, the Jews in the synagogue, you know, the ones that do, obviously, they realize that God gave us this law, which God called through Moses the inheritance of Jacob. Literally, the Torah became the inheritance of Jacob, and the Torah is epitomized by Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the inheritance of Jacob. That's what he told Abraham when he spoke to him. I shall be your inheritance. You see? And Jesus Christ is the husband of Israel. He's their inheritance. They only, he had chosen among all the families of the earth, you know, the people of Israel, all the, you know, the 12 tribes. Of course, obviously, now only the few of them know that they are his people. The rest, you know, think they are Gentiles. But in order for us to be in this state of affairs, where God is our inheritance, or his law is our inheritance, or his nature and character and mind that he offered us to be revealed in us and formed in us becomes our inheritance, we obviously must be responsive and obey the law of God. And so be mindful of this statement, you know, that the Jew says, and all of us, had we, you know, we continued, all of Israel, had they continued in the faith, you see, even though not perfectly like the Jews, you would see every person who is an Israelite upon the face of the earth doing that. In whatever they do in their life, they would say, Blessed be thou, O God, King of the universe, who have made us, that is, who has sanctified us by your Torah. You see? So, when Christ made that statement in his last prayer about sanctify them by your word, it was a part of the common, you know, practice and words, you know, that people use in the community and part of the culture to be sanctified by the Torah. It was not something new that, you know, they never heard of before. See, it's a part of their heritage. As Paul, you know, would tell Timothy, you know, that's your heritage. You know, from a child you have known it. Speaking to a Jew. If from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make you wise unto salvation, you see, by faith through, you know, through the God of Israel, through Jesus Christ. It's the same person. It's not something that, you know, so, you know, people think, well, that's kind of statement, you know, could never be made before. We're talking about a continuity here of the same God and the same people and the same law. That's why Christianity is a false religion. Now, it doesn't mean that it's false when they believe that, you know, Christ is a Savior. Obviously, you know, this is not what it means. But you see how far they've departed from it. Just by the mere fact, you know, when they say that the law is done away with, it's not for us, well, that means Christ is done away with. The husband is done away with. The bridegroom is done away with. Righteousness is done away with. The character of God is done away with. How can people like that be members of a true religion? You see? That's why they'll come to Jesus Christ, and many of us included, if we continue to think like them, instead of coming out of the world, kind of coming out of Babylon. And Christ will say, I don't even know you. Who do you think you are? You know, how dare you even come over here and claim that you are my people when you are lawless? You hate my nature and character, my laws, my teachings, my instructions, you know, the doctrine of Christ from A to Z. And you have the audacity of telling me that you are my people? Get out of here. I don't think we want to be in that group. And so, this is what we read here. An atonement is made for the house. And of course, you know, as we mentioned earlier, the house didn't do anything. But then the body didn't do anything either. We are the one, you know, that used our hands, you know, members of the body, and, you know, stuck that food, you know, the garbage in our mouth, or wrong attitudes, and the body is paying the penalty. You see? We are the responsible ones. And the house either gets condemned, or the body that we have gets condemned. You see? And God, remember, to begin with, said, I'm the one that put that leprosy in the house. That's what he told the, you know, the children of Israel. If you will obey my laws and commandments, I will not put any of those diseases, you see, which in essence he put upon Egypt. He said, instead of that, I'll remove them from you. But how? You know, but you know, I'll do it. You know, you do all you want, and I'm going to do it for you. No, Christ did it for me. Concept? No. That's what we read here. You take care of your own house. And then I'm not going to put that disease on you. But if you don't take care of your house or your body or your character, I will put that disease on you. Now that's a teaching. And people don't realize that because they don't study the law of God. And so God says in verse 4, you know, 54, this is the Torah for all manner of plague, of leprosy, and for a skull, you know, different things, and for the leprosy of a garment, and for the house, and for a rising, and for a scab, in other words, all kind of wounds and things like that, and for a bright spot, to teach, you see, what is it for? To teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the Torah, or the law of the leprosy. So the people of Israel were supposed to be civilized, educated in the law of God, in the teachings of God, so they would know the difference between the holy and the profane. When people reject the law of God, how do they know whether they are holy or profane in the sight of God? They don't. And so a lot of people out there are filthy to the core, and they don't know it, because they've been led to believe by, you know, false prophets, well, Christ died for you. You know, sweet, nicey, nice voices, sickly, you know, type of voices, not even genuine, you know, way of speaking. Christ died for you. You live under grace, you know. We live by faith alone. We love Jesus. Whom do they impress? Well, maybe the devil is impressed with that, but not God. We have to take it seriously. And so any one of us, you know, that have this concept or this attitude or this idea, well, the law is done away with, it's not for us, it's Jewish. That's why God called those people that began, you know, spreading those kind of ideas, the great whore. Is that something to be proud of? To be members of the great whore? Or the harlots? You see? Or those who came out of it and brought it with them into so-called the truth? We still have this attitude, and it's very common among those people who claim to be the people of God and even have the Holy Spirit, to have this attitude. Oh, the law is not for me. That's boring stuff, you know, Jewish stuff. You see? That's pathetic when people are in that state of mind. And they kid themselves that they are the people of God in the Spirit. Let's understand that. In order to be the Israel of God, we must, as Christ said, and that's a command, an explicit command, we must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisee. And you cannot do it until you first reach it. People don't pay attention to the teachings of Christ, and they have the audacity of calling themselves Christians. I'm a Christian. You know, I'm a member of Christianity. What does that mean? You see? Let's wake up. Let's come out of Babylon. Because when God rises up to pour His wrath, He's not going to have mercy anymore at that time. But He's going to pour, you know, the wrath and the fury that He has, that He's been accumulating all this time, you see, on a people that have rebelled against Him and abhorred His nature and character and law, and make fun of it and light of it and despise Him. They have the audacity to turn around and claim to be His people. That's the worst kind of people you can find on the face of the earth. You know, the ignorant is ignorant, never heard it. God will have mercy on them, more mercy on them. That's why He said, to whom much is given, much is required. And that's what He told the Pharisee, you know, well, you claim that you know, therefore, your sin remains in you. You know, others don't know. Yeah, maybe they know, the harlots and then others, you know, were in that category, you know, they know, in that state of life that they were living in. Obviously, they could not go to the synagogue, so, you know, they were ignorant of the law of God. But the Pharisees, who studied it, who knew it very well by heart, not to do it, you see, you know, just pretense there, or to do partly and reject others. He says, well, because of that, you know, you're not blind, he said, you know. anybody who's heard it so far, you are not blind. You know. You have no excuse. Knowledge is dangerous. You don't like it? Stop listening. It's not for you. You see, God is not speaking to rebels. He's speaking to those who are willing to listen. That's the reason why in this past 2,000 years, God is dealing only with a very few. Why? Because, you know, broad is the way, and people like the easy way. They don't want to do this and that. That's too much responsibility. They don't want to work hard. They don't want to clean their house. They don't want to take care of their body. They want to have fun. They want to do that which tastes good. You see, and all of us are guilty of it to one degree or the other. And we must all repent. Because without holiness, not partial holiness, but without holiness, none. Imagine that. None shall see God. And that's why we're told, you know, if the righteous scarcely are saved, what will be with the sinners and the wicked of this world? It's about time to wake up. You know, time is short. Chapter 15. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, this is Jesus Christ speaking. Are we listening? Those who call themselves, you know, Christians. You see? Are we listening? Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when any man has an issue out of his flesh, his issue is unclean. Now, was sickness done away with? You know, when Christ died, you know, nobody's getting sick anymore. Obviously not. Had nothing to do with his death. Sickness goes on. We break the law, the sickness comes. All kind of other things come. You know, his sacrifice was for those who are willing to walk in righteousness. He's going to apply his sacrifice for us to those who repent. Whether it was before he died or after he died, doesn't make any difference. A lot of people, you know, have been taught, you know, that lie, big fat lie, some people would call it, that, and all those things were only until Christ. After that, you know, you can do whatever you want. That's why a lot of people had no respect for God, and he had all kind of evil diseases that have taken over that part of the world, you know, the Roman Empire, you know, and you know, the bubonic plague before that, you know, there were horrible diseases that 500 years into this so-called religion of Christianity, they said that, 75% or something like that of the Roman Empire was wiped out. Sickness and disease and war and things like that. That's what happens when people do not pay attention to the law of God and are not holy as they should be. They pay the penalty, whether they know the law or not. You see? The disease doesn't say, well, you know, that person doesn't know. I know I should skip over and go somewhere else. It doesn't work like that. We break the law whether we know it or not. You know, we walk into a minefield whether we know it's there or not, whether there was a sign there or not. You know what happens? And so God says, I don't want my people to end up like that. So you tell them. And we're being told. Right here. By God himself. Speaking here. To Moses. To all of Israel. To all those who have an ear to hear. You see, and a heart to understand. And a willing heart to listen and to do something about it. He says, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when any man has an issue of his flesh, his issue is unclean. And this shall be his uncleanness in his issue, whether his flesh ran with his issue. You know, this is medical information, but necessary to keep the body of the bride of God whole. So we cannot say, well, that's not stuff for me, and let the physician study that, and if I've got a problem, I'll go to them. No, God commanded all of us to be physicians of our own bodies, take care of ourselves. So we don't want to end up with that huge, you know, over $1 trillion medical bill. It's because of iniquity on the part of all the American people. That's the reason why those evil diseases are upon us. Disobedience to the laws of God, laws of health. Those of proper eating and rest and right attitude. We're paying the penalty for it. Then we complain, we want the government to take care of that. What an audacity. And so he says, and this, verse 3, and this shall be his uncleanness or her uncleanness in his issue, whether his flesh run with his issue or his flesh be stopped from his issue. It is his uncleanness, every bed whereon he has the issue, that is, he that has an issue, lies, shall be unclean. So, might as well stick only to your bed if you have that problem. think about the others. Now, a lot of people don't. They don't care, you know. They're sick. They go to work. They spread the germs. Get everybody else sick. They go to school. You know, your kids come back home. And they're sick. Why? Because some of the kids couldn't care less. You see, they have not been taught by their parents. And so it goes. And everything is going to be unclean. And that's what happens when a member of the body of Christ is unclean. He spreads his uncleanness to everybody else, either in attitude or in physical ailment. And that's what the laws of quarantine, you know, people think about excommunication. That's what it means. Throw them out. You see? For their own good and for ours, so they don't contaminate us. And obviously, don't forsake them. Still have mercy and help them. And, you know, do whatever you can to help them. But on the other hand, they've got to do their part too. God is not a God that is mocked. His congregation was holy. You know, even the prophetess Miriam, you know, the daughter, you know, the sister of Aaron, when she was leprous, you know, they threw her out of the camp. Prophetess, no prophetess. Sister of Aaron, no sister, you know, or Moses. That doesn't matter. Out. And she had to stay there. And the whole congregation had to wait, the whole camp of Israel, for her until she's well to be brought back in. You know, she was so, you know, what a shame. And God is not a respecter of persons. So we have to understand that. So whosoever touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be clean until the even. So we're not talking only about a physical sickness and disease. We're talking about a matter of character, of holiness. A person like that, you see, cannot come before God to the tabernacle, to the, you know, to the temple. And you know, the price people had to pay was very severe because of that. And all the shame and humiliation, you know, and the bad reputation, you know, and so forth. They couldn't go to the market, couldn't go to the store, couldn't go to work, couldn't do, you know, any of those things. Nobody wants to talk to them, you know. Nobody, you know, they didn't have telephones in those days. So the only way you can talk to them is by seeing them. You didn't want them around. So by nature, people excommunicated them, you see. That's in essence what the nature of the excommunication is all about. It's not that, you know, you have the ministry sit there behind closed doors and make that decision. It doesn't work like that. You know, this is man's invention. God makes it very plain. You know, you see a person like that, you know what to do. You know, you do it. That's by the mere fact you don't talk to them, that's how the excommunication occurs. And the person gets a message, you know, go somewhere else. And some people think, you know, well, the minister has to do it. You know, they have no business doing it. The whole congregation is responsible for doing it. That's what Paul told the congregation there, you know, about that guy in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 who was committing incest. He's speaking to the congregation. He wasn't writing to the ministry. He was writing to the Corinthians, the whole church. You know, when you all get together there, he said, "My spirit is with you, put him out." Because he's contaminating the whole body of Christ, which was holy. That is the body of Christ there in Corinth. You see? And even then, at the same time, he told them, you know, not that don't hate him. Just, you know, for him to turn around and come back. And that's the idea also. And some people go from one extreme to the other. So we're not talking about hatred or, you know, putting down somebody. But a person that does not pay attention to the law of God must be dealt with for his own good. And the good of the whole community, because then the whole community pays a penalty. And that's the way God made it. A collective punishment. That's God's law. You know, if a city knows about an evil or a sin within their own borders and they do nothing about it, God says, "I'm going to punish the whole city." So people were careful. Verse 7. "And he that touches the flesh of him that has the issue shall wash his clothes." So everybody's going to be paying the penalty, you know, because of that person. And so that's where the collective punishment came upon all of them. And therefore, they had to all clean themselves and make sure that they don't get close to that person or his bed or his clothes or anything that belongs to him. And so every person like that, they shall wash their clothes and bathe himself in water and be clean until the even. "And if he that has the issue spit upon him that is clean." Imagine that. You know, some people are being contrary, you know, in nature. You know, they get angry and they spit on someone. And God says, "Poor guy. You're in trouble too, you know. You too are going to be unclean." I mean, it sounds humorous when you think about it. And So make sure, you know, when somebody's in that state of mind, you know, don't get close to them. And so if somebody that has an issue spit upon him that is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And you can imagine, you know, he's going to be angry with that person for quite a while for doing that. And what saddle soever he that has the issue rides upon shall be unclean. You know, anything you ride, you sit on, you ride on, whatever it may be. So nobody wants you around. You see, that's how the excommunication takes place. You know, quarantine. Even if you come among them, nobody wants to get close to you. And certainly, you know, if you know that you're the kind of person that spits, you know, they'll run away. Anyway, in verse 10, and whosoever touches anything that was under him shall be unclean until the even, and he that bears those things shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. You see? So the nature of holiness was driven very, very profoundly and deeply into their minds and hearts. And they were mindful of it all the time. Of everything they do, of everything they touch, of everything they eat. You see, they always made a difference because God gave them the knowledge. He spoke to them through Moses. They were not ignorant, and God commanded us to meditate on His law day and night. So we know the difference between the holy and the profane. And people say, well, that's not for me. That's old stuff. You do it all for me, Jesus. I don't want to do it. I don't want to touch it. That's your problem. And people think, after all that they are the people of God. What a farce. And so, verse 11, and whomsoever he that has the issue touches without having rinsed his hands in water. You see, a lot of doctors for a long time and physicians and nurses were operating on people and then go to another person, then to another person and infect all of them and then until they've learned a simple thing that was in the law of God. You see, the Jewish doctors didn't have that problem in the Jewish community, and the nurses and others. They knew all those laws because they were educated in the law of God. That's real education. That's a far higher, you know, supreme education and superior education to all the, you know, the education you get out there in the world. In comparison, when I think about it, and so God says, wash your hands. And so now they have a law. You know, even you know, those who work in the food department and you know, the people in the city, they have the municipal ordinances. You got to wash your hands. Make, you know, sure your employees wash your hands. If they don't, we're going to catch you. You know, you're going to be fined. And if you don't pay attention, we're going to shut you down. They do it. You see? All because people are disobedient to the law of God and have no heart and they do not care about others. How many people you see, you know, they go to the bathroom, they don't wash their hands. Then they go touch people and say, hi, how are you? You know, I love you. I hug you and all that. And sometimes, you know where they came from and you say, yick, get out of here. So God says, wash your hands. And so rinse your hands with water. Verse 13, and when he that has an issue is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number to himself. You know, that's your responsibility. You number to yourself. People don't need to do it for you. You don't need to ask people, well, how many days were this? That's your responsibility. That's what God is saying here. You number to yourself the days for his cleansing. And if you've got, the kind of an infectious disease that you have, and more or less, how long it takes, number to yourself. You don't need the doctor to tell you that or the nurse. You know, be mindful of those things. Study those things. Be knowledgeable so you can love your neighbor as yourself. Ignorant people don't know how to love their neighbor as themselves. They don't love themselves to begin with, as they should. And so God says, you number to yourself. 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in running water. These are the things that he himself has to do it. Nobody's going to do it for him. And he shouldn't take, this kind of clothes that have the disease and give them to somebody else to wash. And in running water, this is what you clean yourself. You know, living water. He that has an ear, he that believes in me, as Christ would say, out of his belly shall flow living waters. Symbolic of the Holy Spirit. You see? And the Holy Spirit is not a dead spirit, so you don't go to dead body of water, or standing there and it stinks and there are mosquitoes. and you pass on the disease. That's how a lot of people all around the world are full of sickness and disease, because of iniquities against the law of God, you know, they're ignorant of. They don't know the difference between the holy and the profane. And the role of the children of Israel was to be a light to the nations. This is one major way where they could be a light to the nations. And to a degree, generally, you see, because, you know, people finally woke up, you know, in the last couple of centuries, you see, basically, when you go to Israelite nations, they are basically clean, you know, there are laws and regulations and all that. And so it's safer to go to their bathrooms and toilet rooms, public, you know, utilities and all that. But, you know, when you go to other nations, well, they haven't learned this kind of laws. And it's very dangerous. So people go to other countries and come back with horrible diseases. And so we read on verse 14, and on the eighth day he shall take to him two turtle doves or two young pigeons and come before the Lord. You sinned against him. You see? Even though all the others too were contaminated, and if you were not careful, but ultimately speaking, that's what David was saying. Against you, you only have I sinned, because you are the owner and possessor of all. And so this is what he does. He needs to come and acknowledge it before God. And then, you know, apologize to his mates. You know, to his mate, that is. Or mates, you know, those that had mates. And relatives, or, you know, sons and daughters and others. For all that he had done, you see. But ultimately, you come before God. He says, you come before the Lord, enter the door of the tent of meeting. You know, don't even, you know, dare go inside. Just, you know, stay outside there. And give them unto the priest. And the priest shall offer them, and that's, mind you, after he's already clean, you know, 7 period went by, then on the 8th day, everything, you know, is safe and sure. Then you go in and stand outside there. The priest comes out by the door and takes it from you, and you give it to the priest. And the priest shall offer them the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. You already heard, you know, where do you do it? You know, the sin offering outside, the burnt offering inside. And the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord for his issue. That is his sin. That's his object, you know, his problem. His iniquity, his transgression. So he's going to cover up for him. You know, the blood of the, you know, the innocent bird that hasn't done anything, but that was until the coming of Christ. Where Christ now is going to be the bird and the goat and the ox, you know, and all the sacrifices of the head and the meal offering, everything. But they too had to do it. So the sacrifices now points toward them. And ultimately, the one that will take totally sin away from the world is the God that created all of us. And so we have to understand, you know, the two edges of the sword here. The sacrifice and all these things are both ways. We must repent. Christ doesn't have to repent for us. We must repent for ourselves. Then he will do his part. And so everything is pointing toward both the bride and the bridegroom. And the bridegroom is clean. We are not. And verse 16, and if the flow of seed go out from a man, speaking about an ejaculation, you know, a wet dream, things like that, and he shall bathe all his flesh in water, you know, not just that area, but everything, and be clean, unclean, until the even. Because, you know, that's what life is. As it is with the blood, you know, there is a flow of blood, you know, with a menstruous woman, you know, in her cycle. And so God wanted them to learn lessons from it. Life is shed, or life is poured out, or, you know, either through a man or a woman. They have to understand what it really is. That's the reason why David also said, you know, in sin I have been conceived. My mother conceived me in sin. You know, there was the life that was involved there from the father and also the mother. Later on, you know, there is a bleeding situation. And in terms of, you know, the birth. And so, we read, if the flow of seed go out from a man, and, you know, in English they call it semen, in Hebrew it's called seed, because that's what it is, it's a seed. Just like the stuff you put in the ground, you know, it grows, something comes out of it. And so in Hebrew it's called seed, zera, the same word, you know, for seed, sunflower seed or any seed. The seed of David, that's what it means, zera David, the semen of David. And if the flow of seed go out from a man, then he shall bathe all his flesh in water and be clean until the even. So equal rights for all. And every garment and every skin whereon is the flow of seed shall be washed with water. And That could be, you know, either during intercourse, or it could be, you know, wet dreams, you know, as they call them, whatever it may be. You know, the children of Israel, from a very young age, men, women, children, heard this law. It's not something to giggle about, you know. It's a part of a life, law of God. And so they had a clean mind, you know, clean heart about it. And they could, you know, deal with all these matters in an open way. It's not a dark subject, you know, as a great whore has made it to be. And the whore, you know, the Protestants, you know, that came out of it, you know, they're the harlots. Sexuality is not something to giggle about, or, you know, dark, or, you know, that thing, you know, they call it, all kind of things like that. That's not the way it is in the Bible. It's in the open. God created all of us. He knows everything about us. We are naked before Him. We don't play games with Him. We don't need to have these attitudes, and a lot of people are covered up with this kind of attitudes that didn't come from God, didn't come from His law. They came from, you know, their own source, their own spirits. That's why God says, come out of Babylon. In everything, come out of Babylon. Otherwise, you're going to be partakers of her iniquities. Now, that's an iniquity to look on something that God created to be wholesome and clean and pure, you see, and when we look upon it in a shameful manner, you see, that's how far we are from God, and we don't realize that. There's too much filth in us, and we don't even realize that because we do not know the difference between the holy and the profane. That's what Paul is saying, you know, even the uncomely parts of our body, we give them more honor. You see? And we have to understand that. And so that's what God is saying here. And every garment, verse 17, and every skin whereon is the flow of seed shall be washed with water and be clean until the even. The woman also with whom a man shall lie carnally, you know, they have an intercourse. You know, in English they have to change everything because that was the King James time, you know, the Puritan era. And they were not willing to use the biblical terminology, you see. And so and they always use euphemisms for this and that and the other thing. A lot of people to this day are still have that problem. You know, that's a matter of the culture and language, and people just use it. God is not that kind of a God. You see, God is pure and clean, and He uses plain, simple language. That's the reason why He says, the day will come when I am going to give all of you a pure language, a clear language, a pure one. Because all of us are defiled even in our own language, our own terminologies. And so the woman, verse 18, also the woman with whom a man shall lie carnally. You know, there's no carnally here, it's in Hebrew. It says, shechvat zera, that means he lies with her and semen comes out. That's a plain word that, you know, you read in Hebrew. And in the Word of God. And mind you, God is the one speaking. Jesus Christ is speaking here. Are people ashamed of him and his language? I want to call him dirty old man or whatever? You see how far people are how far they went away from God? Because they've been eating, you know, the wrong food, drinking from the wrong source. Yet the children of Israel were eating, you know, the spiritual food and drinking the spiritual drink from the spiritual rock, Christ. One thing about it, they're better Christians than the so-called Christians in many ways. What an irony. And they worship Christ. They don't know that he came 2,000 years ago. But he's the one they worship and honor. And he's all they study, day and night. And it's also the law of the Father that gave it to him. You see, but he did not deal with them. So one of these days, you know, they're all going to have a surprise on both sides of, you know, of the border there, so to speak, between Judah and Israel. And so this woman is supposed to bathe herself. Well, it says they shall both bathe themselves in water and be unclean until the even. Now, unclean, that means they cannot go before the temple. But on the other hand, God still wants them to do it, whether they go to the temple or not. After all, he didn't go to the temple every day or the tabernacle every day, but, you know, every day he could have sex. So whenever they did it, you know, before Christ, after Christ, it has nothing to do with it. It's totally irrelevant. God wants his people to be constantly holy. And he gave us laws to be holy. And he told us, don't think that I came to do away with this Torah or the prophets. Not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the Torah. So why do people say, you know, that, well, Christ died, you know, all done away with? When Christ says, no, it was not. They called Jesus Christ a liar so many times on so many issues and claimed to be his servants, his people, his followers. Are we in that category? When he studied the law, you know, just like the Apostle Paul said, you know, I thought I was doing well, you know, I knew the law, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. very meticulous about every little thing. I thought I was doing great until, you know, the awareness of sin, when the Holy Spirit came to him and his eyes were opened, and I began to see the spirit of the law far beyond the letter of the law. And he said, you know, sin revived and I died. And how many of us are in this category? And we don't know it. That's why, you know, he kept, you know, saying, oh, wretched man that I am, the Apostle Paul. People say, oh, no, Paul is not wretched. You know, what do you mean wretched? You know, you're a good guy. You know, you're pretty close to heaven. Yeah, that's the way it is. That's what the Apostle Paul was saying. That's what the prophet Isaiah said. And that's what every man of God, you know, that knows the law of God knows. All of our garments, that is, all of our righteousness are as filthy garments before God. And unless we realize that, you see, and the only way we can realize that if we know the law very well, we would never be holy. We're going to pretend that we are holy and we'll come before him with the wrong garments. And he said, hey, what are you doing here? Get out of here. What happened to your, you know, white garments without spot and blemish? That's the reason why that parable was given, and it's to every single one of us. It's a warning. Verse 19, and if a woman have an issue, speaking about, you know, her monthly cycle, menstruation, and her issue in her, in Hebrew it doesn't say issue, it says zavat dam, that means if she emits blood, you know, simple plain language, that's the way God uses it. And people, you know, have to change it because they're purer than God in their own sight. And so if she has, emission of blood, and her emission of blood in her flesh, that is, and her issue in English, well, we'll read it in English, but you know what it means, and her emission of blood or issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be in her impurity 7 days. 7 days. Don't come to the temple. Don't touch somebody else's bed. Don't sit on anybody's else's bed but your own when you're in that condition. And obviously in those days, unlike today when they have tampons and things like that, you know, it's not an issue as it used to be in the old days. So we'll have to understand also that, you know, women put a cloth on and sometimes it would leak, and you know, they would sit on a certain place and it would leak, you see, so it makes it unholy. And but even then, God says, you know, you have to learn to the concept of holiness. When you are in that condition, stay away. You see, don't contaminate others, even vicariously, even though, you know, blood is not touching another bed or another whatever. And so it says, she shall be in her impurity 7 days, and whosoever touches her shall be unclean until the even. You see? And so women in those days, you know, they just stayed in their tents. That's why, you know, the women had their own tents. You know, and the men had their own tents. Of course, today we think it's weird. But obviously, again, today, you know, women are not as limited as they were in the old days, you see, with the modern technology and tampons and all that. They can take care of themselves and be clean, and this would not be, an issue as it was in the old days. So you also have to understand that. You see, the law of God depends also on circumstances, and today's circumstances are different, you see. And therefore, obviously, the law here now is taken in a different way. But still, the concept has to be remembered. We have to be holy and clean, you know, not to throw, you know, you see a lot of, I remember even growing up, you know, some women would throw that, in those days they had pads, and still, you know, they used pads, they throw it on the street, you know. And that's filthy. Shouldn't be done. That contaminates, and that should not be done. And so God still wants us to remain holy and clean and pure in every way possible, one way or the other. And so everything that she lies upon in her impurity shall be unclean. And everything also that she sits upon shall be unclean. You see, under those conditions. But today with a tampon, you know, things are different. You don't have to worry about that. So let's understand the difference, you know, because some people may go from one extreme to the other and not understanding the law. It's not enough to read the law, you have to understand it too. And understand also circumstances. Verse 21, and whosoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And whosoever touches anything that she sits upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And if he be on the bed or on anything whereon she sits, when he touches it, he shall be unclean until the even. And if any man lie with her and her impurity be upon her, Think about what God is saying here. He shall be unclean 7 days. And every bed whereon he lies shall be unclean. And so, when she is unclean, and he has sex with her at this point, then now he becomes unclean, and he also, wherever he sits now, is going to be unclean, because he is unclean. And that was the reality of it, and later on we're going to find out that God totally forbade any sexual relationship during this period, when the woman is in her impurity, or her monthly cycle. And verse 25 we read, and if a woman have an issue of her blood many days, in other words, if she's bleeding, that's basically what it says, many days, not in the time of her impurity, well, obviously there you have a problem, or if she have an issue beyond the time of her impurity, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as in the days of her impurity. She is unclean. Now, that happens generally when women go through the menopause period. Or, you know, there are times that just there are irregularities there. A lot of women have that problem. And some of them have a very, very, very serious problems with that. As you can read, one of the cases that was mentioned in the New Testament, when a woman that had her blood, you know, just constantly running, she was going to the doctors, physicians, spending all her money, and nothing worked. And then when Christ walked by, she had faith that he could heal her, and so she touched the hem of his garment, and basically what she touched was what is called, you know, the tzitzit, you see, the tassels that Jesus Christ was wearing, because everybody was wearing them in those days, you know, on the garments. That's in the days when people were not walking around with them, so obviously they had an outer garment, and that was possible in those days. And she touched it, and immediately she was healed. And that's when Jesus Christ turned around and said, "Who touched me?" You see? Because he felt the energy that was coming out of his body, you know, virtue, it's called there, that's energy, power. And that's basically what a virtuous woman means. In Hebrew, eshet ha'il, a woman of valor, you see? A woman of power, you know, energetic, diligent. It's not virtuous in the sense that it became in Protestant circles. Sweet, nicey, nice. That's not what he's talking about. You know, a woman of moral standards, talking about a very diligent person. And so he felt that that power, that energy, proceeded from him. And this is what happened at that point. She was totally healed, you know, and the blood just stopped flowing from her. And so God is addressing this issue because, obviously, he realizes that women are going to have this problem given time in their lives, either the menopause period or now and then, you know, for all kind of reasons. And obviously, they're the people that have knowledge and understanding and information and know also how to alleviate this problem, how to help it. And unfortunately, as time went by, a lot of people lost information. They, you know, they were not led and guided by the priesthood that had the knowledge and understanding, you know, to help people to eat right and treat their body in a proper way and know what kind of herbs to take care of that. And so a lot of women are suffering needlessly because of that. But the reality is the cure is always there. It's just that most people don't know about it. And so this is what he's saying here. If she's in that condition, she's going to be unclean as long as the blood is flowing out of her, because the blood is where the life is. And therefore, that creates, you know, the impurity issue there. And verse 26, every bed whereon she lies all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her impurity. And everything whereon she sits shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her impurity. And of course, that again has to do with the fact that in the old days, they did not have tampons, they did not have, you know, the men, you know, the way in which today they can control it, where women, you know, don't have to bleed, and there is no issue there. And obviously also, having to go to the temple in those days, and or the tabernacle before that, that also prevented them from doing it while they are in that condition. And the prohibition was not the same way in going to the synagogue, or to, you know, sanctuary, houses of worship. And so this is what happens. Everything that she's going to sit on will become impure, and or unclean, as the uncleanness of her impurity. In verse 27, and whosoever touches those things shall be unclean, whether the bed or the chair or anything she sat on. and shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And so God wanted his people to be totally pure, holy people. And these are the ways that he told them to abide by, that will make them holy as he is holy. And verse 28, but if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself, she's the one who's supposed to do it, count, number to herself 7 days. And after that, she shall be clean. So she counts 7 days from the moment that it stopped. She's the one that knows when it stopped. She counts from that point, 7 days, and then she's clean. And on the eighth day, she shall take unto her 2 turtle doves, or 2 young pigeons, and bring them unto the priest to the door of the tent of meeting. Obviously, that creates a problem later on, because when you live in the Galilee, or way up there in Dan, you know, even further up, as the tribe of Dan was there, and part of Manasseh and Reuben, things like that, you know, how do you go to the temple at the end of 7 days? Well, obviously, you did not. So, you see that there were modifications with time, even with the law of God. And there have always been modifications because of circumstances. And what you did at that time is go to the priest. Well, anyway, we're going to stop at this point. This is again Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until next time.